Hard work beats talent when talent doesn't work hard. That's why when it comes to hard work, nothing works harder than a Chevy Silverado, the official truck partner of the Chicago Bears. Check out a new Silverado at ChevyDriveChicago.com.
Connell McShane from News Nation joins us Fridays at this time. Two major inquiries in our minds today, Connell. One is the crash. The other one, some of the hearings taking place in the Capitol. Let's start with the crash between the helicopter and the commercial airliner in the Capitol at Reagan. Any news on that today? Do we know more about why that crash took place?
We still don't know for sure, John, as you know, and I thought the NTSB briefing that we had actually when we were on the air yesterday was relatively predictable in how they usually handle things. So they come out and they say, well, give us some time. We need 30 days or so before we're going to have even a preliminary report on this. But, you know, as we gather more information and look at the facts that have become public, the, I guess, emerging theory here from people who know a lot more than I would know about the collision that took place is that, for some reason, that helicopter was higher than it should have been. And it seems like it was in a place that it should not have been in. Now, the question as to why, we still don't know. I mean, that's the big mystery. Why would that helicopter have been higher than 200 feet? Why was it in the exact path of the plane? Nobody seems to have an answer for that one yet.
Yeah. The president had a press conference before the NTSB press conference, and it was bizarre. We don't need to dwell on that, but I do see the president has since put out this morning the black helicopter was flying too high by a lot. It was far above the 200-foot limit. That's not really too complicated to understand, is it? He asks with a few question marks. He has seemed so intent even today to find an individual to blame. So here is the poor pilot of that helicopter, his family, friends, colleagues, all knowing the president has gone out of his way to immediately put his thumb on this person. And I'm not exactly sure what the value of that is, but there we are with the president's continued searching for blame in this story.
Yeah, none of this is helpful. I think that, and I'm not, and I don't think the two are equal by any stretch. But I don't think it's helpful either to go too far into the fact that, you know, Trump's couple of weeks into office, that the cuts that he made at the FAA may have led to this. We don't know that. We don't know. You can debate whether they're good ideas or not. You can also have a discussion, I suppose, about diversity, equity, and inclusion policies in this country. But to say that they have any effect on this, there's no evidence of that. So, you know, either way, I mean, we're just getting distracted. I mean, and then it's one of the things that we've all been following Donald Trump for a decade now in public life, and that's one of the things you have to try to avoid are the distractions and try to stay with the actual news and the actual facts and the actual investigation. And, you know, I agree. What he did yesterday was putting us, you know, off to something else. And, you know, that's just what he does. I mean, he's either going to take the bait or he's going to put the bait out there himself for someone else to take. And then, you know, everybody's off to the races and not talking about what they should be talking about.
Cash Patel, Tulsi Gabbard, RFK Jr., all three in, one in, two in. What do you guess on that?
Oh, guess. Yeah, good word, guess. Okay, what I would guess if I had to on that is two out of three. I think I would say yes for Cash Patel, which I might not have said, you know, a few weeks ago if you and I were talking about it. I would say yes for RFK Jr., maybe not by much, I don't know, but I still think yes. But I would say no for Tulsi Gabbard, although I'm not, you know, strong in any of those quote-unquote guesses, but I think if one is going to go down, it probably will be Gabbard. That was, you know, we were speaking of distracted by our coverage, which was the right thing to do, obviously, of the helicopter and plane collision yesterday, that I didn't watch a lot of the Gabbard hearing, but I did watch a bunch of it at the beginning and then saw some of the clips and read about it later. And this whole idea, especially from Republican senators who matter, like Senator Lankford, of pushing her on Edward Snowden and saying, you know, is he a traitor, and her not giving a direct answer, that seems to have really hurt her, especially, again, with the Republicans on the panel. So if I had to say if one of them's not going to make it, I think it probably would be her.
You do see that where they anticipate the question and they front-loaded the answer, and that is he broke the laws of this country. He broke the laws of this country. He was found guilty of breaking the laws. It's on the one hand, kind of semantic. Therefore, would you call him a traitor? I'm not sure why this nominee, Tulsi Gabbard, can't use that word, but she just kept saying that he broke the law. I'm not exactly sure what the value is of calling him a traitor, but I guess it would put a stamp on her feelings about the issue, particularly since she would be in charge of national intelligence.
Yeah, I think there's a lot that gets talked about. In fact, there was a lot yesterday that got talked about behind closed doors when you're talking about someone being nominated for a position in the intelligence community. So there's a decent amount of information that neither side can talk about publicly. So I think sometimes they go searching for something like this to make a larger point to the public about the underlying concerns that they have in private that they can't really share the details of. So that would be my guess, that sometimes the senators will do that because, you know, behind closed doors, they're asking her about specifics. There's been a lot of speculation about, you know, are they uncomfortable with, you know, her past positions on things like Russia and Syria, and whether our allies would be reluctant maybe to share intelligence with her. But I'm not sure how much they can get into some of the details about those concerns in a public setting. So they look for something like this that people kind of understand and identify with. And most people know it, the Edward Snowden story. I think from that perspective, from a media perspective, it was effective. And it came from both sides, came from both parties. And that's why I say that, you know, she might struggle to be confirmed because of it.
RFK Jr. walked back some of his more strident positions, but when they tried to pin him on a couple of issues relative to vaccines, he vacillated a little bit. You think, though, he compromised his positions or modified his positions enough that he might get in, huh?
I think he might. I mean, I think but I'm not saying that with this high degree of confidence. I thought Senator Cassidy, the first day of hearings, was the guy to watch. I know some others were much more, they got much more fired up. But he's a doctor, the senator from Louisiana, and he was asking him very specific questions about his plans for Medicare and Medicaid and so on and so forth. And I didn't think Kennedy had specific answers. Cassidy didn't seem thrilled, didn't show really show his hand that much, but he'll be one to watch. Of course, everybody gets sort of a kick out of a guy like a Bernie Sanders, but you know, the Democrats, some might, if they cross over and help him, might matter, but a lot of that is theater. I saw that with the vaccines yesterday with Bernie Sanders. But I think Cassidy, to me, is the one to watch. But I think, just to go back to your earlier question, you're just asking about the odds. I still think Kennedy and, again, even Kash Patel have better odds than Tulsi Gabbard.
Maybe it's not important that the nominee know everything about the department they're about to go into, but most people his age know a little bit about how Medicaid and Medicare works. He didn't know how it was funded, what percentage a state picks up. He didn't know about Advantage plans and the cost of them. That's a huge part of that job. Maybe he'd learn it. But you also wonder, maybe anybody could learn it. Why this guy then? What's so particular about him that he has to have a position for which he doesn't know some of the very basics? That's Connell McShane from News Nation. You can watch him today between 2 and 4. On Comcast 223. Always nice to talk to you. Thank you, Connell.
All right, John. Talk to you again next week.